broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for August the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Scott Bradley with me as well. Scott, welcome back, sir.
Oh, thank you, and good morning to you all.
All right, I don't know how we're going to ignore the elephant in the room, but we got to do it, I guess. Jeffrey Epstein supposedly committed suicide, and they say convicted jailed sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein died by suicide, claims to law enforcement sources. The problem is government's lost so much credibility, Scott, I don't even know where to start on this thing.
Well, I don't either, actually, but I believe that he was suicided, unquestionably. I've read accounts of the facility that he was staying in. He had been on a suicide watch until a few days ago, and then he was, for unknown reasons, taken off a suicide watch after his apparent suicide attempt that we don't know much about, but he was taken to another facility, another cell, if you will, that those that have been residents in such cells say it's absolutely impossible to commit suicide in those things, and we can review that stuff and everything. But Epstein is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, or was, he's dead now, and he was a member of the Trilateral Commission. He was highly connected to extreme high-level political figures. Bill Clinton rode on his private jet called the Lolita Express, named after the erotic motif 1955 book. Bill Clinton rode on it 26 times, and that's to say nothing of some of the other connections that he has. Absolutely and unequivocally, I believe that there was a high probability that there were going to be others exposed for the perversions that he engaged in, and I believe that there's a high likelihood he was suicided. Now, I don't believe that we're going to be able to believe an investigation will be carried out. I mean, after all the things that have happened, from the 9/11 Commission to the Kennedy assassination, Warren Commission to the Murrah building bombing to the TWA 800 to the KAL 007 to the, I mean, you could name probably dozens of high-level investigations that have been called into question, and I've personally done a great deal of deep research in all of the ones that we've just discussed, and they were puff pieces. They were fluff, and I'm just overwhelmed with the underwhelming capabilities of those that did these deep reviews. So, yeah, anything that comes out, I guess we're going to have to maybe try and see if we can find some other inside stories, but I think Epstein was offed. That's basically the bottom of it.
Epstein told guards a couple of weeks ago that someone tried to kill him, and the point is dead men ensures silence, Scott.
Dead men tell no tales, they say, and I think that, honestly, you know, there's an old saying that Satan or the devil never really upholds his minions. I mean, he allows them to be kind of cast off when he's used them to the degree he can, and so I don't think, I mean, this is a common thing. Those that are involved in wickedness, to save their own skins, there's no loyalty or honor or anything among them. They'll finish off whoever could do them damage, and I've been saying this was going to happen since the day he was arrested. I mean, literally, that has been a theme, and that's kind of why I launched the way I did when you brought this up. I mean, it's like, yes, I told you so. I didn't tell you guys so, But that's what I've been saying since the day he was arrested. He will not make it to trial. And he was killed under the highest security conditions. I mean, the bed sheets they give you, the people talk about them being paper quality. You couldn't hang a 200-pound man from it. There's no bar you could hang from. There's no bars in the room.
Yeah, and the idea that he was on a suicide watch, the idea that even weeks ago we basically, you know, he was found with marks on his neck that either some attempt had happened or someone did try to kill him like he claimed. You know, and then to take him off suicide watch, supposedly the guards were on overtime, so they didn't check on him like they were supposed to. Somehow there's no video cameras of the event, so, you know, and all I'm telling you is all things point to this idea that we'll never, ever get to the bottom of it. But there's a lot of speculation out there. For example, dead men ensures silence. But Larry Klayman says this: his death sounds like a mafia hit to keep him from talking. You can't believe the DOJ. Suicide is not believable. Jeffrey Epstein death, quote, the word on the street is that the Clintons did it, WND.com. My problem is that there's too much speculation and no facts here, and we better be careful not just to delve into speculation, because what happens oftentimes is they plant these speculative realities so that we go off half-cocked, and then we lose a lot of credibility. I don't believe the official story, but I don't know what's happened. And anybody who says they does, says they do know what happened, I got a question.
Well, you got a question because it's how do they know? But the fact is,
yeah, that's right. How do they know? And even if they did know, if they told the truth, they'd probably be dead themselves.
That's right. And we do know that he's dead, and we do know.
Well, maybe. How do we know it's not a double that's dead?
Okay. Well, yeah. There you go.
And I'm not trying to get into conspiracy, but I'm making a point. Oftentimes, they have. Oftentimes, too, they kill somebody, and he might have something in place that has some server somewhere around the world that says, you know what, if you don't hear from me for a certain amount of time, release all this information. So we don't know what's going to happen here.
No, we don't. But, it certainly, I would say, would be surprising to me that if it was a self-hanging kind of thing. I mean, they could have put something in his peanut butter sandwich. Who knows? I mean, it's one of those things that... we have been lied to so many times, and I just will have to deeply question whatever the knee-jerk investigative solution comes out as. And you just need here's an aphorism that I have: distrust until verified.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I was going to go, Scott. I have this attitude that whatever the government says, I've got to say I don't believe it's true unless I'm shown otherwise, as opposed to I'm going to believe it's true until I have evidence to the contrary. It's sad, but they've lied to us so many times and so many scandals have come out that we're a fool to believe anything else.
Yeah. Well, it's like right this minute, I mean, here on my shelf and I'm looking at them, I've got the 9/11 Commission report and I've got the Warren Commission reports. I mean, these are things that are, I mean, they're only inches away from me all the time when I'm here on the radio with you. These things are so scandalously full of erroneous information and stuff that they've blatantly overlooked. I mean, you look at the 9/11 report. They don't even talk about Building 7, for example, that 47-story building that was not in any way damaged other than by little kind of superfluous brush fires that had happened. The whole building falls down. I mean, and nobody ever talks about that. You know, the fact that the Empire State Building got hit by an airplane decades before, and it only damaged three floors, and only a handful of people were killed, including those on the aircraft. I mean, the stuff is just bizarre that I kind of feel like, you know, maybe your kids at one point or another watched Homer Simpson, and they had Homer Simpson out dancing in the meadow, you know, la, 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 la. That's kind of how I think they feel like Americans are. Anyone with half a brain can see that most of these things are just cover-ups.
Kurt, you want to chime in on this thing?
You know, I wish I could just say, look, man, if those officials there in the jail and the prison and our legal authorities and, you know, the DOJ, et cetera, and all those. I mean, if they say it's a suicide, it just is. And yet, man, you know, like this whole Clinton body count thing, I thought was pretty amazing. You know, right after, you know, he first went in, we hadn't heard much of the Clinton body count kind of stories for quite some time, maybe since Vince Foster or somewhere in there. And yet, I thought it was interesting over the weekend, one of the World Net Daily pieces, you know, pointed out that I guess even though the Clinton body count on Twitter, you know, hashtag Clinton body count had a whole bunch of like 90,000 retweets or whatever it was, somebody had started one that was Trump body count. It had, I don't know, 10,000 or some. Well, it was quite a bit less than the Clinton body count. And yet the Twitter guys had minimized the Clinton body count one and pushed up the Trump body count one. And the son of the president, Donald Trump Jr., had you know, tweeted that he didn't think that was kind of cool. What do you guys think?
Well, there you have it. They lie and they manipulate and they pervert. And the sad part about it is what they're doing is just destroying trust to where many people believe the government is your enemy. And I believe rogue agents in the government certainly are our enemy, but we cannot believe that the whole government is an enemy. Most of the people in government are good people, and they're sidelined by these rogue agents. Let's talk about that a little bit with Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website in seconds on your radio.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, I submit to you that what they're doing is eroding trust in government as a whole, and I submit to you there's rogue agents for sure, Scott. We cannot underestimate that reality. Nevertheless, I submit to you, I think the biggest concern to me is that they are using rogue agents in government. And what it's really doing, unfortunately, with the help of the mainstream press, they're undermining respect for and a healthy belief in a legitimate, limited, constitutional or proper role of government. There is a place for government here. And what will happen is the second we take government out and say government's always the enemy, then there's no good solution. Because which faction is going to take charge to fill the void, if you will? And so I'm very concerned about this, and I'm not like a government lover. I realize government's kind of a necessary evil, I understand all that, but I also understand that no government's worse than the government we've got by a long shot, sir. And I don't think people realize that reality. I really don't.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned this angle, because in no way and shape or form am I inferring that it's time for anything that would, overreach, if you will. We do have a constitutionally established government. We need to return to that and restore it. You're absolutely correct. There are those that think that because they hold office, and it's not just people that are in deep state. There are people that get elected to office and think that their power is unlimited based upon the fact that they, the people chose me, I can do whatever I want. No, everybody is limited to the very specific delegated powers that are granted in the national level in the Constitution. And just because somebody passes legislation for something does not make it, even legal. And in fact, Madison talked often about the fact that anything that violated the Constitution would be found to be illegal, null and void. And so virtually all the actions that are happening now at the national level are at that level. And in fact, I had a conversation last night, fairly late, with someone about this idea that the courts have declared XYZ to be legal, to be constitutional. And my response was, oh, that's interesting. You know, as many times as I've been through the Constitution, I have never found any place in there that requires an oath to uphold a court decree or a court decision. There's only an oath in the sixth article of the Constitution to uphold the Constitution. And those that believe they need to uphold a judicial enactment, and they are treating them as law because they're making law that way, are really in violation of the Constitution, too, because the Constitution doesn't require anybody to uphold that. And it's anything that violates the Constitution is illegal, null, and void, according to the American founder. So anyway, yeah, you're right, Sam. I mean, we can't kind of run off the rails in the assumption that, there's a few bad apples. We've got to throw everything out, and that's not what we're inferring at all, that we need to return to the foundation and uphold it vigorously and passionately, and let's make sure that everything's in the order it should be.
Now, I do believe most people in government are good, honest people doing the best they can, too. Now, many of them might be naive, etc., but you know what? I believe it's rogue agents here that are the problem, too. And if we're not careful, what we're creating is this just distrust and anger towards anybody in government, and eventually that might turn into a civil war. We need a healthy reality check on, hey, most people are good, just doing what they've been told, thinking that things are right. They might be naive, but they're not guilty of a grievous sin. They're not advancing an agenda. In fact, many of them are very patriotic and believe in the right things just as we do. And it would be a big mistake to throw the baby out with the bathwater or consider at large the enemy, because I think we make a huge mistake there. And what will happen is you'll have no government, or the intentional taking apart of our government. That's probably the worst thing we could do.
You're correct to the nth degree. And in fact, that's exactly, I believe, what is happening with these kinds of things, whether it's the people in deep state or the people that are in legislative positions or whomever, or people that are on the street. I mean, there's this idea and effort to cause disruption. It's a common ploy used by those seeking to overthrow society. And you can look at, the French Revolution, for example, and what happened afterwards with the takeover by Napoleon and what the tragedy followed there. You look at those things that happened throughout the 1800s with the attempted revolutions after the Marx Manifesto came out, the Paris Commune, the Bolsheviks, things with Mao Zedong, the Cambodian things, every one of those. Overthrow of society came because of disruptions in society. And what happens is those that are seeking to destroy what society is, and that is the basis. If you read the Communist Manifesto, that is the basis of the manifesto, to overthrow everything that is traditional in society and replace it with this new revolutionary tyranny. But that is how it is done. And there are people today that are fomenting that, and they do it at many levels. It happens at the highest levels that we can see in the deep state, if you will. And there's people in Congress, there's people in the courts, and there's people on the street that think they got a better idea. and every one of them is adding to the disruption. What we got to do is go back, take a deep breath, look at our back trail. You know, I tell the story about when I was 6 years old, I got lost. And my first impression, which I followed, was to run. I didn't know where I was going, but I was making good time. And I absolutely guarantee you that running through the briars and the brambles and tripping over the deadfall and the boulders and falling in the creek does not help the case. What you got to do initially when you get lost, and that's kind of where we are maybe in the nation today, is sit down and look at our back trail. We've got to assess our resources. And our resources are well-defined. This Constitution is tried and true. It works. And those of us that will sit down, take a deep breath, look back on the back trail, we can find our way back. And we don't have to get lost in the weeds. And there's a lot of people that wave their arms around and jump up and down and get all excited and all this kind of stuff, and they come up with new constitutions, or they're willing to rewrite the one that we've got where there's nothing wrong with it, and all the things that are happening are because of violations. There's those that think they can usurp an office or a power based upon self-appointment, or a handful of people that do it. All of these people are part of the problem. They're disrupting the way back by putting out false solutions. And you're absolutely right. And I'm glad you brought up the subject, because we do need to take a deep breath. We need to actually clearly review and carefully review the well-defined path that we've got, and we'll make it back to safety. We don't have to be lost in the woods overnight. So we got to think about what you're thinking about, Sam.
Yeah, and I think we need to realize that, you know what, most people are good people, and most people are sidelined or deceived on this issue. And so we need to be very careful about this Jeffrey Epstein thing. I realize it's a tragedy. I realize there's wickedness in a lot of high places. I realize there's secret combinations that are above the people. I get it. But the problem is, if you point the finger at the wrong who, or you point the finger at an unsubstantiated who and what and where and how and you're just going to go into conspiracy land. And I honestly believe they want to do two things. If they take Jeffrey out, then, hey, it's a surgical removal. It'll be very difficult to find out who done it or who's responsible or who's continuing it. And that's exactly what the deep state wants. Second thing they want us to do is spend time on a JFK never solvable conspiracy debate and discussion. What we really need to do, in my opinion, okay, is we need to talk about our right to keep and bear arms that is under assault right now. Even Rush Limbaugh, of all people, warning about it, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. And you don't see this real often, but he has basically saying to the president, don't make a deal with the Democrats on this. And we got to say he's right.
You know, it's interesting, you guys. So Elizabeth Warren has come out with a new plan. And, of course, it's always a bunch of Band-Aids on an old thing that would have never worked anyway. But the fact is, she's saying she can reduce gun violence by 80%. And it's kind of like, holy cow, where does this come from? But there is an assault against the Second Amendment. It's been a growing, climb up the hill for the last 50 years, probably, but right now it's at a frenzy. It is absolutely at a frenzy, and we have our president, who has probably implemented more Second Amendment violations in his administration than the previous two or three did. But he's kind of talking like he's going to get rid of due process and go with the red flag laws and this idea of more federal involvement. And you know what? There's zero authority for the federal government to be involved in this. There's no delegated authority. And in fact, it specifically says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
As Kurt Cosby would say, other than that, it's not so bad. All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Got a whole lot coming up. Sam and Kurt. Scott Bradley with us. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. Check out his weekly constitutional webinars and more. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
An autopsy on millionaire financier and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein's body has been completed after he was found dead in his Manhattan jail cell on Saturday. New York City's medical examiner says she is withholding the findings, though, pending additional information. Richard Behar is a contributing editor of investigations for Forbes magazine.
He was supposed to have been watched at least every 30 minutes by guards who turned out to be terribly overworked and understaffed.
Epstein appears to have hung himself in his cell, but his death is the subject of a number of investigations, including one by the U.S. Justice Department. No word yet on the cause of a fire that tore through an Erie, Pennsylvania 24-hour-a-day daycare center, killing five children early Sunday morning. And this is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges. Charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
An inmate who escaped from a Tennessee prison last week, accused of then sexually assaulting and killing a correctional administrator, Deborah Johnson, in her home on Wednesday after his escape, has been captured. Here's USA Radio's John DeMaster.
The Department of Corrections says Curtis Watson is back in custody after being seen early Sunday morning on surveillance video in Henning, about an hour north of Memphis. He'd been serving time on aggravated kidnapping charges when he escaped the West Tennessee State Penitentiary in Henning while on work detail.
The military has released the name of a soldier killed in Iraq over the weekend. Marine Gunnery Sergeant Scott Koppenhafer was killed in northern Iraq with Iraqi forces who were fighting ISIS. The 35-year-old hailed from Mancos, Colorado. Immigration officials say even though most of them have been released, they're still following up on investigations into hundreds of illegal immigrants captured in Mississippi. And this is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
So I believe the Jeffrey Epstein scenario was a surgical removal to make sure nobody can connect the dots. And it's a conspiracy of modern times that everybody will double down and debate about forever. But we're sidelined and sidetracked by an unsolvable case because the government and the inside swamp monsters made sure that was so. Rush Limbaugh warns Trump against compromise with Democrats on gun issues. Any kind of deal with the Democrats on guns is an absolute risk, Rush says. He's right about that. But gun rights activists claim, quote, Trump could lose our vote. I think he's about to make his read my lips mistake, writes WND.com. Kurt, was there more on that one?
No, that pretty much says it all. I mean, and I thought it was a great point about the whole, you remember the George, whichever Bush it was, that basically said, hey, read my lips, no new taxes. Well, you know, the president could really step in it if he's not really careful. And
yeah, read my lips, no new gun control. He came out saying we need to get rid of gun-free zones. I'll do it first day, and now look at him, Scott.
Great point.
Yeah, I really believe that, in fact, I did a piece on this here a week ago. It wasn't quite a week ago that we commented about the fact that the president, you know, he's got a pretty, his base has stuck with him pretty solid. I mean, all through his thick and thin with all of this nonsense that's been going on with the Mueller report and the Russians and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like you get over that bump and it's kind of like, okay, now how can I shoot myself? Well, that was a bad analogy, maybe. How can I be a, make a big boo-boo on this one? And I think that, there are passionate people about the Second Amendment that that he might lose a large portion of his base if he takes this. I believe that this election is his to lose, really, for good or ill. I think that those that are fronting themselves as Democratic candidates are so far off the rails in terms of where the rest of America is thinking that it would be absolutely miraculous for any one of them to gain traction and win the election. But if Trump does some self-inflicted kind of problem, like abandoning the Second Amendment, I believe that could be a real game changer. And I don't know, maybe that's the way it's supposed to go. But I think there's enough people that are firmly committed to that Second Amendment. And we should be with religious liberties and the right to free speech and assembly and press and habeas corpus and ex post facto law. I mean, we should be that way in all of our God-given rights. But the Amen. Second Amendment is one that is absolutely, it's easily understood. It's kind of like the Monica Lewinsky issue. You know, they had so many things that they could have taken to the mat with Bill Clinton, and they focused on sex. And it was because, people understand that, you know. And so they went with something that they felt like would resonate with the masses, if you will.
Yeah.
And the Second Amendment is something that is very firmly held by a very large population segment of the United States. And Trump could really damage himself if he
yes he could
the wrong way.
I want to make this point that I don't know that other I don't understand why other people aren't making this point. But let me make this very clear: when it comes to foreign aid and the war mentality around the world, we arm and train and fund more war, more violence, more weapons, more training, more around the world than anybody. And whenever anybody's in trouble, what we say is, by golly, so-and-so's tyrannical. We got to arm the underdog. We got to help out the freedom fighter in this area of the world. And we do it, and then later they're the tyrannical enemy. Nevertheless, we do it over and over and over. We arm and train and fund more war around the world than any nation, bar none, and it's by far. So in America, when a bad guy then wants to go crazy or do something bad, why don't we have the same mentality that says arm the good guys with guns? That's what we do any other place in the world. I mean, the foreign aid is billions and billions and trillions of dollars on this principle. The bad guy's down, better even the score and give him a chance. So let's arm and train and fund them. Around the world, that works. Let's arm them to the teeth. But in America, whenever the same scenario, bad guy's running amok, then let's disarm the good guys. Isn't that the reality that you see? And how does that work? I mean, no one's connecting this, Scott.
No, they're not connecting this, and I've said for a long time that the good guys really do need to make sure they stay in a mode that they can protect themselves and their loved ones. I mean, you know, it's like when seconds count, help is minutes away. I once worked at a place where they had their own police force and everything, and the president wanted everybody to not conceal carry. And of course, I'm a concealed carry instructor as well as a concealed carrier. And so I went to the police chief, and I says, "Chief, if we had an active shooter in my office building, how long would it take to get your guys there?" "So we could probably 4 or 5 minutes." "So how many times can you reload in 4 or 5 minutes?" I mean, this is the reality of it, and we do need to. It's kind of like we must take responsibility for our own health. We can't turn that over to anybody else, especially the government. But the idea of our own self-preservation, the first line of defense is us. And it's absolutely got to be available for us to do.
And they know this because they preach that all around the world.
Sure they do. And it's like, you know, you just, we are foolish. They've got shootings at Walmart now. You know, I mean, we can point to, we got shootings in churches. And it's like, okay, so I'm down at Walmart picking up a few groceries or a birthday present or whatever. What happens when you start hearing the caps go off? And it's really something, you know, you can cower, hide, or whatever. But for me, if it was just me and my bare hands, I'd have to go to the sound, because I could not live with myself thinking that other people were being sacrificed because I was cowering behind a can of pea soup or something like that. But that's just, I mean, I cannot imagine the feeling that would come over someone if you could not respond were there an immediate need like that. You can't wait 10 minutes. I mean, sometimes they wait a long time. And by the way, let me just, since we're on this Second Amendment thing, I watch this stuff pretty carefully. And in the cases that we know of, that they're willing to release the information, in every case they've released the information, there has been these mind-altering, psychotropic kind of drugs, the Prozac kind of things, the Ritalin kind of drugs for ADD and all those kinds of things. I mean, you look clear back in the whole history of these things and these mass shootings across the United States, and that's the common factor that, and again, sometimes they guard these things very carefully, and I think for other agenda reasons. But in the ones where we do find the information, somebody's brain chemistry has been altered by some kind of prescriptive drug. And in a percentage of the cases, those drugs, and you listen to the commercials on TV, if you have suicidal thoughts or you have homicidal thoughts come out, you know, you should discontinue the drug. This stuff are common side effects for some people. And I think that ought to be under investigation far more than some of these other things. I mean, they seem to be the cause, or at least they're a contributing factor in so many cases. And we completely, we're going to go take a God-given right away instead of investigate why some psychotropic drug is involved in every one of these cases, you know?
Well, and oftentimes there's ties to military. I'm not trying to make this racial, but 3/4 of these shootings occur by blacks. You know what? We need to start to profile this, and we don't need red flag laws to do it.
Well, here's the deal, though. The military ones, you know what? I'm going to look deeper than race or anything like that. I think many of those previous military kinds of situations are associated with some kinds of these drugs I just brought up. I can't tell you the people I know that have conversed with me about PTSD kinds of symptoms that have been they've been put on prescription
exacerbated
for these kinds of things, and they end up either killing themselves, a spouse, a child, or some stranger. And it's like, well, what was the real cause of this thing? And I really think that a lot of it is it has in its origins a cognitive dissonance that happens between what they're called to do in the battlefield. And again, it's horrific. I mean, these unspeakable things that happen, and we just blindly and we're going to go defend America's freedom. Really? I mean, there's surveys out now that at least the majority of those that have served, whether in combat or not, do not believe in the mission that they've been told they were sent there for. I mean, how have we defended America and our liberty in Afghanistan or Iraq or Somalia or in Syria? I mean, these are fabrications of the deep state's effort to fund the military-industrial complex. People make big bucks off of this thing. And you look at constitutional processes, we've not gone through any of those. None of these have been vetted properly.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Bradley doing a phenomenal job on your radio. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby back in seconds. Jesse Lee Peterson bringing up some interesting tidbits relating to this very discussion. We'll talk about that in seconds on your radio.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, Jesse Lee Peterson chiming into this discussion quite nicely. We're talking about solutions, ladies and gentlemen, always on your radio, Kurt.
That's a great point, Sam. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know who Jesse Lee Peterson is, he does a program on this Liberty News Radio, this network as well. This is he would call himself an... this is not the one that calls himself an unhyphenated American. That's a Lloyd Marcus, right, Sam? But Jesse
That's right.
Lee Peterson is a great example of a good... I guess the term is African-American, who is, not afraid to tell the truth. And in his piece from WorldNet Daily, it says, government cannot solve mass shootings. And he gives you the kind of update on what's been going on. And then he says, white supremacy is a myth which exists in the minds of angry, godless Democrats who use it as a tool to scare blacks to the polls and make decent whites recoil with guilt. Louis Farrakhan believes the black race is superior, yet Farrakhan is not labeled a black supremacist. He says, why? Because it doesn't conjure up images of whites keeping blacks down, and it doesn't advance the Democrats' agenda. Then he says that President Trump's the most pro-Second Amendment president in recent American history. He goes through and talks about some other things. Steve Scalise's deal with the red flag laws, etc., and different things like that. But he says, I counsel many young people, and we have a generation in crisis. In most colleges and public schools, masculinity is considered toxic. Boys are under attack and they are not allowed to be themselves. They are misdiagnosed by therapists and medicated to make them numb. Boys and men are being alienated and made to feel like they are to blame for societal ills. The family unit is falling apart. Fathers are weak. Mothers are impatient. And the kids are left on their own with violent video games, pornography, drugs, and alcohol. No wonder the youth are angry. And then he finishes up. He says, passing more gun laws will not solve the problem. We must address the breakdown of the family and help young people deal with their anger and encourage them to forgive, starting with their parents, especially their mothers. Nothing else will work.
Scott, what do you say?
Well, I think he's on a pretty good track there. I think the video is posted on my website now, the Freedom's Rising Sun. It's under Scott Bradley's Common Sense. I made probably a 20-minute video about this line of reasoning about the shootings and what's really the cause of this epidemic in the United States. And it really does come down to a divergence from everything that was right and proper in the past. I mean, certainly the family is the core of society. And our families are under assault, and we turn it every possible way to reject this God-ordained unit under which everybody is to be brought into this world. And it is a good reason for a mother to be there and a father to be there, and the roles that God ordained for this. And Honestly, we try to put Band-Aids on this all the way along. We use drugs or alcohol or public schools or babysitters called videos or TVs. I mean, there's any number of things that is basically contributing to this crumbling of the things that are really precious in America and just in humanity. And so, yeah, we need to reevaluate where we're going, and I think it needs to happen at the most base level. I always say we the people are in control of this. We the people have to be educated on proper government. We the people have to reinstitute family settings. I mean, husbands and wives need to love each other. Parents and children need to respect and care for each other, and there needs to be these roles reinstituted, and it has to be done at that lowest level. And you will not find a solution that's mandated by some, directive from the government. It just is not going to happen. And so everything that's fallen apart here, and of course, you think about it, what's the origins of all this stuff? Families and everything? Government? It's God. God is the origin of proper government. I mean, and that's where the founders got the idea of this, making this the greatest, freest, most prosperous land in the world. They looked within the scriptures to find out his structure that would allow that happiness to occur. And you know, we could talk at length about how they had discovered these things, but the fact of the matter is, it all goes back to that. And we have been abandoning this just joyfully and gleefully while society's fallen apart. And now we're going to try and institute draconian things that will put a tyranny, and ultimately and finally we'll all be in solitary confinement, but we'll all be safe. It's just nonsense. We can be free and happy if we'll go back to the right formula. And that's kind of, I mean, I think that's the basis of what you try and do on your show, and that's the focus of where I'm coming from and everything I do. And hopefully people will start trying to apply these things and quit looking to the wrong sources, you know, hunting for things in the wrong places, you know?
All right, Kurt, what do you say? I think Jesse's on to something. He talks about Louis Farrakhan a little bit, too. I know you kind of mentioned it, but I want to kind of repeat this here. Louis Farrakhan believes the black race is superior, but Farrakhan's not labeled a black supremacist. Why? Because it doesn't carry out their narrative of attacking the white man. It doesn't conjure up images of a white man or white people scheming, keeping blacks down. And it doesn't fit their agenda of division because it highlights the truth. And so, you know what? I'm against white supremacy. I'm against black supremacy. I don't believe anybody's supreme. We're all God's children. And I believe that we need to stand together for God, family, and country. Kurt, is there more on this piece, though?
You know, I don't know what else to add from it, except one of the main things that I'd like to say is, why do guys like him not get brought up in, in these main quotes? Why do guys like Ben Carson and, Sheriff David A. Clark and so many other, Star Parker, they just, they're left to the side. And really, ladies and gentlemen, the answer is, they just don't fit the narrative, do they, Sam?
I think you're right about that. And I think Jesse Lee Peterson, you know, as a black man, he can kind of say some things and, you know, that the rest of us, you know, would be obliterated for saying. Nevertheless, he brings up this point, though. He says white supremacy is a myth which exists in the minds of angry, godless Democrats who use it as a tool to scare blacks to the polls and make decent whites recoil with guilt. Again, I think he's right. They're explaining us, Scott.
Well, but again, we go back to that Marxist and all the whole revolutionary concept, whether they even identify it as Marxism, this idea of building conflict, class conflict, race conflict, gender conflict, socioeconomic conflict. Everything is focused on this idea, oh, ain't it awful, and we're going to, by causing all this turmoil, they hope to pick up the pieces, those that want to overthrow the freedom of all lands, overthrow certainly the Constitution, implement the socialistic state that, Marxism is socialism, so is Nazism, so is any kind of fascism, so is democratic socialism. I mean, you look at the Fabian socialists, I mean, it's all the same poison. And they're all on the same direction, even though it's World War II was just a big gang war between the different socialists. And they all had risen to the level of government control, so they brought in the most powerful mortal force on earth, government. And that's why World War II was such a horrific conflagration, because this gang war between socialistic perspectives had been raised to the level of national force. So the neo-Nazi, or the national socialists, the Nazis, and the Fabian socialists, and the socialists under de Gaulle, and the socialists under Stalin, and the socialists under Mussolini, they all went.
And the modern-day socialists under Bernie Sanders and AOC?
Absolutely. They're all the same flavor. It's just that they try to put this softer, gentler smile on it, or silk glove on the iron fist. I don't know what they're doing, but the fact of the matter is, it's all the same poison. And we've got the success formula well defined. It made us an amazing, incredible, miraculous nation. And the way it started to fall apart was because these other principles got in there. And it's been right from the very beginning. There's been people trying to overthrow it since the 1780s. I mean, literally.
Well, bad guys will be bad guys no matter what, with guns or without, and with government power or without. Look, Cain killed Abel, and hey, it's been off to the races ever since then. Good has been triumphing, but evil has tried to destroy good. And this is really the war in heaven continued. Let's be clear about the principles and the reality of what we're facing. It's good versus evil, right versus wrong, agency and freedom versus tyranny and slavery. The battle is very clear and very simple and very defined. That has been so literally since the beginning as well.
Well, God, family, country. Those are our three great loyalties. If we can restore those in the hearts of the people, I'm confident that there will be much more happiness in this world. There'll be much less violence. And we as a people will be free enough to choose the path that will allow us to prosper with our families, with those in our communities. And this idea of a government-mandated solution for everything is just compulsory. It's satanic in its origins, because everything Christ did was love-directed. It was a free will offering. Everything the evil one does is based upon compulsion and force. Just look at the way it's done and say, oh, I can tell the origins of this. This is a better way than that way.
All right. FreedomsRisingSun.com is Scott's website. That's FreedomsRisingSun.com. He's got his collegiate book series and educational series there, DVDs, lectures, and more. To preserve the nation, but it's all at freedomsrisingsun.com. You got weekly webinars, sign up, Q&A on the Constitution and more every week. Just tremendous stuff from Dr. Scott Bradley. Kurt, let's give you the final word.
The final word. You know, Scott mentioned how important it is to restore God, family, and country. And, you know, I don't know how you highlight a better solution than that. Let's make America and the world great again, a better place.
Yeah, the only thing I might add is the way we start with this is we look inward individually and we cleanse our inner vessel. In other words, we got to have pure hearts and clean hands before we start. So we got to turn to God ourselves. We got to repent. And then we got to teach our families to do the same, because I submit to you that the society will never be stronger than its families. And if we look to God and family and country in that order, that's where it starts. And I need a personal, strong relationship with God. I need a strong family, and I need to teach my children. We need to learn to live according to God's laws. The two great commandments and the Ten Commandments should be the starting point for solutions. And then when it comes to government, look at the supreme law of our land, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and say, how do we engage in making sure that we return to those sacred principles, and how do we engage in pure application of those principles for the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth? Thank you so much, Scott.
Glad to be here, guys, and you all take care. I need all the friends I can get.
Amen to that. There you go. Scott Bradley doing a phenomenal job for Kurt Crosby, Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman, LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. If you have the heart to help, donate, would you please? Every penny will help us grow our presence in the media. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.